Welcome to the Pitcock Podcast. Imagine pouring 4 intense hours into meticulously researching and writing this truly brilliant article. You hit publish, you sit back and wait for the world to react, and you just hear absolutely nothing.
Oh yeah, just complete silence.
Right, complete silence. It is the frustrating reality for thousands of writers every single day. The internet is impossibly noisy, so simply hitting post just, you know, isn't enough anymore.
No, it really isn't. It's a crowded space out there.
Exactly. So today we are doing a deep dive into decoding a specific mechanical framework that transforms an ignored digital ghost town into a highly profitable digital empire. Welcome to the Pitcock Podcast. I am your host, Bill Pitcott, and I am absolutely thrilled to be here today.
And I am Annabelle Pitcott. So excited to be co-hosting this with you today. It is fantastic to be here. We have an incredibly dense, actionable deep dive prepared today, you know, breaking down the exact systems of what actually makes content move and rank on the modern internet.
We really do. And right out of the gate, we need to let you know that this deep dive is drawn directly from the bestseller ebooks available on our ebook store. You are definitely going to want to take notes on the systems we cover today. So please visit www.pitcott.com/books. to download. It is an absolute masterclass in digital strategy.
Subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
Yes, please do. All right, let's lay out our mission for today. We are unpacking the Pitcott Materials 13 Essential Steps to Blog Success. And what I love about this source is how it completely reframes the concept of blogging.
Right. It's a total mindset shift.
It really is. We are not talking about an online diary here. We are analyzing a structural strategy game. Okay, let's unpack this. We need to start with the literal architecture of your digital home, step one. The source talks about choosing a platform, and it says starting on a free platform like WordPress.com or Blogger is, you know, okay if you just need to act. But I have to push back a little here.
Yeah, you have some reservations.
I do. If we are treating this like a legitimate business, isn't building on a free platform incredibly risky?
It absolutely is, and that is exactly why the Pitcott text emphasizes that a self-hosted custom WordPress domain is the gold standard you really must aim for.
Because you actually own it?
Right, exactly. Look at it this way. Using a free platform is essentially like building a highly profitable, beautiful store inside a shopping mall that you do not own.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right. The mall management can just change their rules overnight. They can restrict your ability to run ads. They can change the layout entirely.
Or they could just shut down the entire mall tomorrow.
Precisely. Mm. And you instantly lose all your hard-earned foot traffic. But owning a self-hosted custom domain, that means you own the literal land.
You have the deed.
You have complete root control over the back-end server infrastructure, the security protocols, and all the monetization avenues.
Right, and it inherently signals to search engines that you are a legitimate corporate entity, not just a temporary burner account.
Exactly. It screams professionalism, but the rule to remember is action beats perfection every time. Just start publishing, even if you have to migrate it all later.
Start with what you have. I love that. So that brings us to step two, identifying a niche. And again, my initial instinct is that hyper-focusing feels terrifying.
It's scary to niche down, for sure.
It is. If I narrow my focus to something as specific as, say, vegan baking for solo moms, aren't I immediately alienating like 95% of my potential traffic?
It seems that way, yeah.
Right. Like, why would I intentionally shrink my pool of readers?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the underlying mechanism of audience conversion tells a totally different story. Mm. The internet doesn't lack general information, right? It lacks highly specific solutions.
Oh, that's true. General info is everywhere.
Exactly. When you niche down aggressively, you aren't alienating traffic. You are filtering for high-intent users. A broad, generic audience might click your link, give it a 2-second glance, and just bounce.
And then stick around.
No, they don't. But a highly targeted audience stays, they read every single word, and they deeply trust your authority.
You become their go-to person.
Right. That dedicated tribe is infinitely more valuable to an algorithm and to your bottom line than a million random, unengaged clicks.
Ah, okay. That actually makes perfect sense. It is all about engagement quality over raw volume.
100%.
And that ties right into step three, which is the next architectural pillar, consistency. We all know we should post regularly, but the Pitcott source points out this isn't just about creating a habit for human readers.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually training the search engine algorithms, aren't we?
Yes, exactly. Consistency creates expectation, expectation creates habit, and habit creates loyalty. But technically speaking, consistency is a highly technical ranking signal.
So the bots are actually watching the clock.
They really are. When you publish on a predictable, steady schedule, search engine crawlers learn your rhythm. They literally allocate a specific crawl budget to your site.
Right, a crawl budget.
Yeah. If you update consistently, they return more often and index your new pages significantly faster. But the Pitcott material has a strict, uncompromising rule here.
Goodness.
Quality always beats quantity. One deeply researched, highly authoritative post sends much stronger ranking signals to Google than three thin, rushed, mediocre articles. You just have to find your sustainable rhythm and defend it fiercely.
So we've built the architecture, we've dialed in the high intent niche, and we are posting high quality material regularly.
We have the foundation.
Right. But then we hit that wall of silence I mentioned in the intro. Moving into our second segment, getting eyes on the page. Step four is drive traffic.
Mm.
The Pitcott source points out this massive, fatal discrepancy in the digital world. Most writers will spend 4 hours meticulously creating a post and maybe like 10 minutes distributing it.
It's totally backwards.
It really is. How do we flip that ratio?
Well, by recognizing that distribution is a totally separate, equally vital mechanism from creation. Great content without a robust distribution engine is just a tree falling in an empty forest.
Nobody hears it.
Nobody hears it. You have to aggressively promote every single post like it matters, push your work through SEO, social channels, and email marketing.
So what does this all mean for step five, optimizing for search engines? People hear SEO and think it's just mindlessly stuffing exact match keywords into a paragraph.
Yeah, the old way of doing things.
Right. But the Pitcott material goes much deeper. It uses this great gardening analogy. You have to plant, water, and adjust to help your blog bloom. It's about building a digital infrastructure that Google's bots can actually parse.
Precisely. SEO is fundamentally about reducing friction for both the crawler and the user. Take meta descriptions, for instance.
Okay, let's talk about those.
That's the short 160-character snippet of text below your link in a Google search result. It doesn't just broadly describe the page. It is your primary mechanism for increasing your click-through rate.
It's a pitch.
It's a total pitch. If you write a compelling meta description, more people click. And when more people click, Google's algorithm registers your page as highly relevant, pushing you higher up the rankings.
And then there is the defensive side of SEO, like tracking your bounce rate. For those who might not live in their analytics dashboards, the bounce rate is the percentage of users who land on your page and immediately hit the back button without clicking anything else.
Which is terrible for your rankings.
Right. If that rate is high, it sends a massive negative signal to Google that your page didn't satisfy the user's search intent.
That is a critical point. And it's exactly why the Pitcott source talks extensively about page speed and fixing broken links.
Oh, broken links are the worst.
They ruin the experience.
Mm.
And if your page takes 4 seconds to load, the user leaves before the content even visually renders. That spikes your bounce rate artificially. It's about being the first result and the perfect answer for the reader. It's a completely interconnected system.
Which brings us to the human element of the traffic engine. Step six, engage your audience. We often think of blog comments as just a nice vanity metric, you know, a little ego boost.
Yeah, pat on the back.
Exactly. But the source frames interacting with readers as a structural part of your growth strategy.
It absolutely is. When you take the time to reply to comments, I mean, it creates a real emotional bond. Readers are shocked when an author actually replies.
It feels like meeting a celebrity sometimes.
Ah, yeah, it does. And structurally, asking follow-up questions or using polls and quizzes, you significantly increase the time on page metric. The longer a user stays on your site reading a vibrant comment section, the better your site looks to search engines.
That makes total sense.
Furthermore, the Pitcott text stresses being ubiquitous within your niche. That means going beyond your own site and joining Facebook groups, being active on Twitter, and answering questions on highly trafficked Reddit threads.
Because every deeply insightful, helpful answer you provide out there creates a high-quality, organic pathway back to your own brand. It is brilliant.
It's all connected.
I love looking at engagement as a measurable metric rather than just a fuzzy feel-good concept. We are about to pivot into crafting the actual reader experience. But before we do, let's take a quick high-energy pause. Listeners, to get your hands on the exact strategies and systems we are decoding today, I want to invite you to visit www.pitcot.com right now to explore all their incredible resources.
Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
All right, we are back. The Pitcot material moves into segment 3 now, crafting the reader experience. Step 7 is utilizing multiple platforms to cast a wider net.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the blog is essentially the hub, right?
The center of the wheel.
Exactly. And the social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, those are the spokes. But you really have to adapt to each platform's unique culture. You can't just copy-paste the exact same caption everywhere.
No, a LinkedIn crowd expects something very different than an Instagram crowd.
100%.
But I really want to look closely at step 8, keeping it concise, and the bonus section on quality design protocols they outline. Have you ever clicked a link and just been hit with a terrifying wall of text?
Oh, it's exhausting just looking at it. I close the tab immediately.
We all do. The mechanics of formatting are so important. The source talks about short paragraphs, heavy bullet points, and strategic white space.
And that ties right into mobile design, which is absolutely non-negotiable today. Everyone lives on their smartphones.
Why is a slightly clunky mobile site a literal algorithmic death sentence for a blog now?
Well, the source uses this fantastic analogy. A bad blog design is like walking up to a beautiful high-end retail store, but the front windows are shattered and the overhead lights are violently flickering.
You definitely don't walk inside. You cross the street.
Right. You run away. A simple design update can literally double your time on page. Mobile design has to be clean, because if your clickable buttons are too close together for a human thumb, people just get frustrated and leave.
And that exact same psychological principle applies to step 9, visual appeal, and step 10, adding a personal touch. Vulnerability is just so magnetic.
It really is. People follow people, not faceless brands.
This is where I have to admit something. It's a trap I think a lot of professionals fall into.
Yeah.
The source strongly advises sharing your failures, your mistakes, and your messy behind-the-scenes process. My instinct is always to heavily curate everything so I look like an absolute infallible expert who never makes a misstep.
It's a natural instinct to want to look perfect.
Right. But the text argues the exact opposite. Why?
Because sharing personal mistakes and failures actually draws readers in. They relate to the struggle. When you project perfection, you build a wall. But when you share the specific mistakes you've made, you instantly lower the barrier between the creator and the consumer.
Wow, yeah. Authenticity drives deep retention.
Exactly.
And keeping those highly engaged readers around is the perfect bridge into our final segment, Turning Pro. The Pitcot material drops a massive bonus section right here about building an email list from day one. Now, I look at my own email inbox, and it is, frankly, an absolute disaster area of spam and promotions.
Most people's are.
Right. So why are we pushing email collection so hard when social media reach seems so much broader and more modern?
This raises an important question of who really owns the audience. When you rely solely on social media, those algorithms can destroy your traffic overnight.
Which is renting space.
Exactly. You're renting. Yeah. But an email list is yours. It's a hard asset. You capture these valuable emails by offering high-value lead magnets.
Like free guides or checklists.
Right, checklists, mini courses, things like that. The Pitcot text highlights a staggering reality. A blog with just 1,000 dedicated email subscribers will drastically outperform one with 10,000 casual social media followers.
That is incredible. Quality over quantity again.
Always.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The second bonus section is networking with other bloggers. The source frames blogging as a team sport.
It's not a solo mission.
No. Leave thoughtful comments on other sites, collaborate, and remember that karma is incredibly real in the blogosphere.
It is the backlink economy at work. When you help others, they help you.
So once you've captured that traffic, established that network, and built a loyal email list, then we hit step 11, monetize. But the Pitcot source issues a stern warning here.
Yes. Do not plaster your site with obnoxious ads on day one.
Build the trust first.
You absolutely must build trust first. And when you do monetize, you have to break it down strategically. If you have broad traffic, maybe use AdSense. But if you have a tight niche, affiliate marketing or digital products are way better.
But how do you actually know which of those mechanisms is working? That brings us to step 12, track performance.
Analytics, the blogger's superpower.
Yes, you aren't just passively looking at traffic counters. You are actively mapping paths. You set up monthly reviews to ruthlessly examine the winners and the losers. It is pure pattern recognition.
And acting decisively on that data is the ultimate realization of our final step, step 13, professionalize your blog. This is treating the blog like a full-time business.
Right. No more treating it like a weekend side project.
Exactly. You invest heavily in a clean domain, consistent branding, and creating media kits. You have to confidently pitch to brands.
Because the creators who treat their rigorous work seriously are the exact ones who get taken seriously by corporate brands.
100%.
What an incredibly dense, powerful roadmap we've covered today. We have systematically taken the Pipcot material and traced the exact 13 steps to a thriving digital empire.
It's a complete blueprint.
It really is. From rejecting the limitations of free platforms to mastering the SEO gardening, optimizing mobile design, and leveraging analytics, it all brilliantly reinforces the source's core driving mantra. The best time to start a blog was 5 years ago. The second best time is today.
Do not wait for perfect. Start with good.
Exactly. Start with good and iterate based on the data.
I want to leave you with one final, highly provocative thought to mull over today as you build your own platforms. We've spent this entire deep dive decoding complex algorithms and SEO. But if your highly specific, distinctly human perspective is the absolute single variable that an algorithm cannot replicate, what is the one unique struggle or passion you can share today that someone else desperately needs to read?
That's such a phenomenal grounding thought to end on. Thank you for listening to the Pipcot Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.